When did you become a dad? Was it when your girlfriend or wife told you, "I'm pregnant"? Some fathers are very excited to hear this news, and others are not so excited. Join us today for the Family Shield Father's Day special. My guest is Kurt Remspot, the founder and president of Guys for Life. You're listening to Family Shield. This is Kay Meyer, your host. Stay tuned. You won't want to miss today's program. I want to introduce Kurt. He is the founder and president of Guys for Life. Thank you so much for joining me today, Kurt.
Kay, thanks for having me in. I really appreciate it.
Well, I am excited to learn more about Guys for Life, but before we do, I guess to some extent, your story did begin Guys for Life, didn't it? Tell our listeners a little bit about your background.
It sure did. The way it got started was back in 1966 in North St. Louis. Tony Remspot was dating a wonderful woman by the name of Kathleen Percher. And they'd been dating a number of years. And one weekend, my dad went away to a cement pouring party at Lake of the Ozarks. He called my mom to come get him because he was schnookered into doing it. And when she got there, they got a motel room. And she proceeded to tell him that night that she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. Next morning, he found a letter in her purse that laid out the whole thing, that she was going to go away, put me up for an adoption, never to be seen from again. And my dad confronted her. Lovingly confronted her and said, "You weren't going to tell me, were you?" She said, "No." And with that, he said, "This is my child too. I was too chicken to ask for your hand in marriage, but we will face this together." So that's how my story got started. And I knew that growing up. Even in high school, I wrote papers about it. I didn't know the full story until I got to work here in St. Louis at the local pregnancy resource center, now called Thrive.
Thrive, sure.
And my mom and I went for lunch, and she laid the whole story out. And I then found out why I was so convicted about choosing life when, at 19 years old, getting ready to leave for a university, my girlfriend Heidi came to me and told me that she was pregnant. And now, almost 25 years later, with our daughter Allison, our granddaughter Bonnie, excuse me, and 9 other children besides Allison,
wow.
we were definitely swayed that when a guy faces this issue, he needs to step up to the plate and not run away. That's how it all got started.
Wow, that's great. A lot of our listeners know that I used to work for Volkerding Village, which is was a maternity home mm-hmm. for women. And Family Shield is very closely connected with Our Ladies Inn, which is another ministry for women that are pregnant. All of the women that I always worked with, wanted to keep their babies, but that's not always the case in today's world, is it?
No. What we found out in a survey here at the local pregnancy care center in St. Louis was of 94 post-abortive women who made the decision, came through a counseling program, they had 143 abortions between them. And they were asked a good extensive survey of questions. And the last two questions on the survey really identified what you're talking about. The second to last question was, what was the greatest source of pressure on you to end the life of your child? Was it friends, sibling, coworkers, parents? What was it? Number one was the boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Number two was the husband of the woman who was pregnant in a new marriage or whatever, or they didn't have money for it. Mm-hmm. The third was the father of the young woman pregnant. He had better dreams and visions for her life. And so these men, at a rate of one out of every two women saying they chose abortion, were telling us that men were the cause of it. But the follow-up answer, the very last question, was the one that blew me away, which was, what factors at the time of your decision would have led you to, you know, maybe choose life, put the baby up for adoption, come up with a parenting plan? What was it? The number one answer, 81% of women said, if I had support from the boyfriend and his family, I would have chose life, which superseded at coming in at second at 60% was if I had access to a pregnancy care center. Mm. So that's also how this got started. When I started seeing some numbers like that, I'm like, well, women are telling us if guys would just step up to the plate.
Yeah. Now, sometimes, and I know you're not just working with men that have chosen life.
Right.
You are working with all men, and some of them maybe 16, 17 years old, find out their girlfriend is pregnant, and they don't find out about Guys for Life until after their girlfriend has had an abortion.
That's true as well. A portion of our website has been dedicated to those men who either passively it happened to them, or aggressively pushed a woman into abortion and are dealing with it. I didn't realize this, but when I started at the what was then the PRC in 2002, almost half the guys that were showing up were coming saying, hey, this happened to me. I have no idea how to process this. So it took me years looking into God's word and looking at how guys go through this. And it came through with one guy, my buddy Aaron. He went through this, and we took about 16 weeks meeting in his home, having what we call man cakes, you know, pancakes every Thursday morning. And I started leading him through the process of reconciling this with God. And at that point, he said, you know, Kurt, I really appreciate what you're doing, but I just don't feel forgiven. I've asked God for forgiveness for killing my child. I just don't feel it. And I believe one of the first times, I don't know whether it was audibly, spiritually, whatever you call it, I really felt the Holy Spirit tell me, you know, tell him he's asking me for forgiveness for the wrong thing. And I looked at Aaron and I said, Aaron, you're going 99% of the way with that asking God for forgiveness for killing your child. You need to ask God for forgiveness for killing his child, because we're made in his image. And that child was his before it ever was yours. And so we spent the next 15 minutes in solemn prayer, bowing our heads, crying, and just pouring ourselves out over the fact that Aaron hadn't asked God for forgiveness for killing God's child. And when he looked up and he had these tears in his eyes, I'll never forget it. It reminds me of Paul and Ananias, that when Ananias goes across town to somebody he does not want to see and not want to be with because he's formed a bad opinion about him, and he lays hands on Paul's and he delivers the good news and he answers Paul's prayers, Paul looks up with new eyes, a complete new vision. And that's exactly what Aaron walked up with. Mm. His bride, Sarah, came down the stairs. She put her arms around him and he said, do you forgive me? And she said, silly, I forgave you the day I married you. Now, this was not the woman he had the abortion experience with, but 9.5 months later, they had their first son, Charlie. Yeah. They've had three children, and Aaron has confided in me. He went on, you know, Focus on the Family with me, right. and we told this story nationally. He said, Kurt, I would not have allowed Sarah ever to get pregnant unless I had truly reconciled this with God. Thank you so much. Oh, wow. And so you're right that it's not just the in the womb counseling that we do with young parents. It's downstream when guys have had this happen to them by their own hand or against them.
Yeah, absolutely. And God's word says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well from Psalm. And we as Christian ministries want to help people know the love of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we can share that love and help them prior to them doing something that they're so sorry for later. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it happens afterwards. And thank you for that story of Aaron. That's awesome. Awesome. Tell us a little bit more about some of the men that you work with.
Well, what we get the opportunity to do is we come into the church environment. And we speak to those men who have been hearing God's word for a number of years, and they believe it. They love God because he first loved them. And what we do is we offer a challenge. We offer them the opportunity to step up as a mentor, and we get to do the Paul and Ananias thing all over again. So we tell these men that there are men in your community, 2.5 million a year. That's five guys every minute. There are men in your community who are facing an unexpected pregnancy, and all they need is someone to support them, because 85% of guys who face an unexpected pregnancy will choose life if they just have someone to listen to them. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we challenge these men, and these men in the church, just like Ananias, have formed a very bad opinion about the other young men in society. They hold this worldview, this ideology, this prejudice, if you will, that these kids deserve these mistakes that they're getting. It does happen in the church, believe it or not.
I know.
And so we call them and we take them through a 12-week online mentoring academy where we absolutely get this guy to pour out all his motivation for why he wants to serve others. And just like spiritual boot camp, we refill him with the right knowledge and the right wisdom to get involved in a kid's life. So we do the same thing that the Lord did to Ananias, which is challenge him. You know, Ananias came back and said, hey, do you know this guy? He's going to kill me. And that's what guys in church feel like. This kid is skeptical. He's unwilling. He's not going to listen to me. And we get him to pour out that opinion. And we get him to go, and the most beautiful word that Ananias said to Paul when he met him, the very first words out of his mouth are brother. Mm. And if you know anything about their culture at that time, to call someone brother was a very endearing term. You don't just use that term loosely. You know, today it's thrown around, hey, brother, you know. But back then, that was deep. Mm-hmm. And so he calls Paul brother, and he delivers him the good news. Well, we train men how to deliver this kid good news that, you know, the fact that over 90% of the young men that we see through the ministry don't have a very good relationship with their father. Mm-hmm. And you can use that information with a young man so that when he's facing an unexpected pregnancy, you bring that out and say, you know what? You have a better opportunity today. Our tagline for the ministry is called, there's no substitute for you. Mm-hmm. And our job is to teach that mentor that in that situation, there's no substitute for him. But his job is then to work with that young man to say, you know what? There's no substitute for you right now. Things did go bad with your father. Your father may be in prison. He may be incarcerated. He may not even be in your life. You may not even know him. But you have a chance right now with this child to recover that. And what's so cool about this ministry is watching what happens on several levels. A child is saved from abortion. A woman is spared the scar of that physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So she then begins to trust men. That young man is challenged to stand up in a new role. And the only way he can do it is Galatians 6:2 says, to fulfill the law of Christ is carry one another's burdens. The only way he can do that is with someone walking alongside him, helping him to do that. So we get to help that guy, the father. But what's really exciting is watching what happens in the mentor's life. Because the unique thing that I walk away reading that encounter between Paul and Ananias is, what do you think happened to Ananias after that encounter with Paul? It had to have changed his life. It says he was a disciple of Christ, but I guarantee he was amplified in his ministry after that.
I bet. Wow. I am interviewing Kurt Remspot, founder and president of Guys for Life. I want to make just a few announcements, and then we'll go back to talking more about Guys for Life and about fathers, as this is our Father's Day special. Each week, Family Shield offers a booklet to our radio listeners. This week, we're offering the booklet, Victim Validated Victorious. In addition to this booklet, we have three Blessings and Prayers for Men devotionals to give away to our listeners. To receive one of the booklets or the devotional, call the Family Shield Response Center at 1-877-317-4326. If you get voicemail, make sure you leave your complete name, address, and telephone number. We encourage our listeners to sign up to receive the Family Shield email newsletter on our homepage at www.familyshieldministries.com. Family Shield is a listener-supported radio program. Please consider a gift to help us continue airing this program on 50 stations in 25 states. Remember, although the gospel is free, producing and broadcasting this program is not. To continue airing the program in your area, we need your help. Send a donation to Family Shield Ministries, P.O. Box 230015, St. Louis, Missouri, 63123. Again, my guest is Kurt with Guys for Life, and their website, if you want to learn more or get involved, and we'll talk a little bit more about that after I'm completed with the announcements, is www.guysforlife.org. Kurt, as we're kind of ending our announcements, is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know, maybe something coming up locally that you could share?
Sure. One of the things people can get right off the bat is that if they want to learn how to work in someone else's life who's experiencing unexpected pregnancy, They don't have to go through formal training or anything like that. They can do it in the convenience of their home with our online mentoring academy. So what someone can do is they can send us an email through our website, and there'll be plenty of contact sections, which you just gave out at guysforlife.org. And they can send us some information, and we will respond back to them with our free online mentoring academy, where they can watch a lesson online, they can download it, and they can start to be trained. How do I come alongside someone and talk to them? I haven't never been trained in this, don't know what to do, don't know what to say, and we'll take them through that process at absolutely no charge.
Wonderful. That sounds great. Well, again, this is our Father's Day special, so I think maybe for a few minutes I'd like to just ask you about your family, your children, because you're a dad, and share with me, well, share with our listeners a little bit about your family.
Sure. Like I said, we started in 1986. I was on my way to the University of Missouri. Heidi was a senior in high school, and she came to me before I left and told me that she was pregnant. So right off the bat, we started at what the world considers a disadvantage. We had to handle something and figure it out. And it was about 2 years before Heidi and I got married. And because every unexpected pregnancy doesn't negate a marriage, you know, but we worked it out. And 2 years later, we had our second child. We moved away from St. Louis for a number of years to work in radio, believe it or not, in Springfield, Missouri. And then the Lord led us back to St. Louis. We didn't have a relationship with Christ formally. Heidi was raised in the church. I was ministered to by a wonderful guy named Phil Nichols with Student Venture and Campus Crusade for Christ. And when we came home, we decided to have a foundation in the Lord because we almost lost our marriage in Springfield, Missouri. I was a knucklehead. I lost my house. I lost all my credit. I lost my cars. I went into business with one of Heidi's family members. We lost everything. And I cried out on my driveway when I got the foreclosure notice on the house in Springfield, Missouri. Lord, if I come home to St. Louis, there's only two things I want. And that's number one, you, and number two, my family. And that's literally all I came home with in a moving truck of junk. We came home, we set up camp in West County, St. Louis, Missouri, and we started attending a church. We both were baptized the same evening, May 31st, 1997. I'll never forget it. And that made the turn in our lives when we decided that we're going to stop living for ourselves. We're not going to be churchy people, but we're going to give our lives to Christ. I mean, dedication to Him, not so much of what's right, what's wrong. You know, we drink and, or, you know, we don't drink, we don't chew, and we don't go out with people who do. You know, we decided to just dive into the gospel. And when we did, He came back with a response that we were being disobedient in one area. And that was the area, I can't believe you asked this question, but of birth control.
Oh.
We just had our way of doing things. And there were several areas of our life we weren't being obedient with. And He just really dropped us to our knees on this. So Heidi and I decided to give over our family, whatever it is, five, whatever, how many children He wants us to have. We gave that to Him as an act of obedience. And He's blessed us with six girls and four boys and one beautiful granddaughter named Bonnie. And we believe, like it shows in Scripture with Sarah and others, that He opens the womb and He closes the womb. And that has been, I would say, the greatest change in our lives spiritually, that you have no idea the magnitude of what you have to deal with in making that one act of obedience. Because believe it or not, your greatest attack on that decision comes from the church, comes from within, side where other people feel comfortable in their decision. And so they leverage that against you. We always were hearing things like, you know, you can stop that at any time. You know what causes that, don't you? And we would just pleasantly say yes, but there were years that we were bitter. Why won't people let us be free in our decision? Because we're giving this over. And then that took us through the process of, I mean, it really impacted us as husband and bride. It impacted us as a family. It impacted our ministry. Because we even had several people come up to us and would tell us that they would not give to Guys for Life because of a large family. How can you take care of a large family? So we have to constantly prove to the body of Christ in the real world 1 Timothy 5:8. If any man is not taking care of his immediate family or his relatives, he's worse than an unbeliever. It has been the greatest spiritual challenge, and I would never change that decision for giving this over to him, because I've realized with Guys for Life, with my family, that each step of faith requires more on your part. And I think that's why a number of us as Christians only go so far. You know, we get comfy, called comfy Christianity. This step of obedience, wow. You have no idea what's on the backside. But I, like I said, I wouldn't change it.
Well, tell me, what is your the greatest joy you have with your children?
The greatest joy with my children. Heidi and I recently decided to go through the Bible in a year. And I was telling you before we had the broadcast, some days it's a push, some days a pull, and some days it just coasts right along.
Now tell me the age from young to old.
Okay. It starts off at 3. Well, actually, it starts off at 9 months. So we have a 9-month crawling around on the floor, carpet commander. Then we have a 3-year-old. We have a 5-year-old. Then it jumps to 8, 9, 11, 13, and 14. And our two older children are 21 and 25, and they're usually at work. So the remaining 8 are the ones that are in the room that we're leading through the Bible year. And one of the most fun things I have is to watch them get it. When we open up a portion of God's word and we're able to discuss it. Now, majority of the time, the children are just obeying because they're supposed to.
Yes.
So there's not so much, like for us as mature Christians, a relationship. It's an act of obedience. But when we get done and we close the word and we can discuss what we just read, and to watch Emily, who's 9, just shoot up her hand and they get it, or to see my son Timothy get it. And then later in the day, we homeschool. And that's a challenge too.
My daughter homeschools too.
Right. And so with that many kids, 8 kids, not everybody's on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
But the greatest joy I have in a parent is to bring in a biblical worldview into my family, to share it with them, and to see it take root. It's really hard right now at their ages because they want to fight the world. They want to fight the word and push back because they're trying to discover who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But when they capture that biblical truth and then they live it out, to me, that's one of the greatest joys, because then I know I can rest my head at night, or if I were to die, they're set up for the rest of their life. That's what brings me joy as a dad,
right,
is setting them up for the future. It's not about me.
Yeah. And we want, especially Family Shield, we want our listeners to go into their own homes first and share the love of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He suffered and died for our sins. He forgives us every day, because even though we're Christians, we still sin.
Oh.
We do not live our faith 100% of the time. You know, the world thinks Christians are supposed to be perfect for some reason.
Right.
And they'll look at a Christian that has sinned and they'll say, see, you know, but no, that's not correct, is it?
Go ahead. It's not. I have to confess, my bride Heidi is going to be listening to this program later on. So as much as a paragon of virtue as I sound like right now, I'm not. I sin the greatest in our family.
I think everybody does.
As the father, I sometimes curse. Oh my. Oh. I sometimes lose my temper. I lose my temper a lot because I have such great expectations that they fall through, and I'm not balanced. I'm not connected to the vine. And one of the hardest things I've had to do is give my children and Heidi permission to come back and say, Dad, you're a little off kilter right now.
Yes.
And I would be remiss that if I did not say, while one of my greatest joys is watching my children get a great biblical truth and apply it to their lives and hold on to it forever, the greatest challenge I have is being open enough to know that I sin all day long, and I've got to give my children the right to tell me that I am. If I don't, I'm going to close their spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's time for me to release them out into the world, they're going to be angry towards God.
Mm-hmm.
Because they see the Father through me.
And the thing is, too, with families, we need to learn how to say to our children, whether they're little youth, are adults. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I did something wrong. Will you forgive me? Because this is what God wants us to do. We just have a couple minutes, but a comment.
You know, that is really what we're helping men as mentors do. Some of them try to make atonement for their sin in their own family or with an abortion experience in the past. And we bring that in, and that's a good motivator to get you there, but it's like kindling. It's what started the fire. And so when we train mentors, like what I do at home and what I do with Guys for Life, we basically help them rewire themselves to 1 Corinthians 10:31. It's a simple verse. Whether eating or drinking or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. So with mentors, one of the things we do is we take their motivation and we get it off that kindling, which burns them out as volunteers and anything else. And we get them hooked into the correct motivation that no matter what you're doing, it's for God's glory. And if you get that in mind, you will go into this life of this kid and help him out of his situation rather than trying to make up for your sin, which you might have done 10 or 20 years ago right. with an abortion experience.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so I just want to encourage our listeners again to get involved, learn more about Guys for Life. Your website again is www.guysforlife, spell the whole thing out, .org. I also want to, as we always do, and we did today, remind our listeners that Jesus Christ suffered and died for you. A lot of our listeners are unchurched people. And no matter what you did, whether it was an abortion that you never asked for forgiveness for, whether it was something else that was terrible, you can have forgiveness. He has already suffered in your place. All you need to do is ask him for that forgiveness. And he gives it 70 times 7. He will keep giving it to you. Mm-hmm. And the gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16. This is Kay Meyer with Family Shield. If you don't have a church and you would like us to recommend one, please call our response center at 1-877-317-4326. We want to encourage you to go to church this weekend. Don't forget that our booklet, Validated Victorious is available. This is Kay Meyer. Thanks for listening. God bless your day.
You've been listening to Family Shield, a radio production of Family Shield Ministries. Its mission is to educate and equip people to know Christ, grow in His Word, and strengthen individuals and their families. To learn how you can obtain resources or support the ministry, go to www.familyshieldministries.com or write Family Shield Ministries, P.O. Box 230015, St. Louis, Missouri 63123, or call 1-877-317-4326. A CD of today's program is available upon request. Tune in next week for more Family Shield.